to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a Mark Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Nun Omid Aleph, the sixth line from the top, you will notice a triangle that appears. This is a continuation of a massive structured Gemara that began way back on Daf Mem Tes Omid Beis. We already spent quite a bit of time explaining the structure of this sugya, so for those who are tuning in for the first time, it would be recommended to listen to some of the previous shiurim from Daf Mem Tes and Daf Nun. This is the fourth of the different methods of deriving information through Torah Shebaal Peh, fourth of the methods that we've been discussing. Dovar halomei bebinyan av, something that is determined through the binyan av method, which is essentially a method of comparing items logically. So if I learned item B, let us say, from item A, mahu shilamed behekesh ubegzereshova ubekavachomer ubebinyan av, can I then learn from item B that I determined from item A through a binyan av, through any of the following methods? These are the four methods that we've been discussing: hekish, gzera shova, kal vachomer, or binyan av itself. Pshot meho chado. Let us conclude at least one of these questions, because in effect you have four questions encapsulated in this one line. The four questions would be: something that I learned through a binyan av, can I go on to learn from that to a third item, behekish, or to a third item, begezer shava, or to a third item through a kavachomer, or to a third item through a binyan av? All of these when the first stage had been through a binyan av. So the Gemara answers, pshot meho chado. Let us answer one of the questions. So we have a Tanaic source. What will be of interest to us in this Tanaic source is the first part of it. We have bracketed off the second part, which will be useful for us in terms of when we get to that point. We'll skip it initially, because the piece of Gemara that follows the bracketed section, in other words, the Gemara that continues right at the end of the Tanaic source, which appears in the frame, that question essentially is directed on the first part of the source, but not exclusively, as Rashi points out. But for the purpose of the flow of the Gemara, in what we are trying to achieve, that's how we'll learn it. We'll learn the first section of the source, and then the question that follows. So we turn to the beginning of the source. Mipnei ma omru bedam, lon bedam kosher. What is the basis of saying that dam, blood of a korban, of a sacrifice that wasn't used on time? In other words, when one sacrifices a korban, it's expected that you sprinkle the blood of the korban on the altar before sundown. Let us say it wasn't done. And then they took the dam, the blood of the korban, and brought it up onto the top of the mizbeach. From where do we know that if that's done, the dam is to remain up there and not be taken down? So the Brisa answers, Sharei lon be'emurim kosher. Because the same thing is true if emurim were brought to the top of the mizbeach, emurim that were not offered on time, and after they experienced what's called lina, they were then brought on to the top of the mizbeach, and not brought. If that happens, they're not to be brought down. Mipnei ma omru lon be'emurim kosher. So why has it been said that if the emurim were experienced lina and brought up on the mizbeach, they're not to be brought down? Sharei lon be'basar kosher. because we have the same phenomenon when it comes to basar, that it's okay. Now, the case of basar involves the meat of a shlomim sacrifice. A shlomim sacrifice, you have 2 days and the intervening night in which to eat the meat of the shlomim. So you have a situation of the meat which in effect experiences lina. In other words, the korban, the shechta today, could in fact be left over till tomorrow, and it's still kosher. So from the fact that we see that lon, in a manner of speaking, is kosher by the basar, and from that we say, well, just like lon is kosher by the basar, lon is going to be kosher by the emurim, and just like lon is kosher by the emurim, lon will be kosher by the dam. And in all of these cases we're talking about, in the case of the emurim and the dam, we're saying that if it was brought on top of the mizbeach, it's to remain there and not treated as something that's totally posel. Hence the term kosher is used. It's kosher insofar as it's brought up onto the mizbeach. If it's brought up onto the mizbeach, it's not to be taken down. So what do we see from here? We see a double binyan av. In other words, something, the case of the emurim is learned from the basar. In other words, we said just like lon by basar is kosher, so too, through a logical comparison, lon is kosher by emurim. And just like lon is kosher by emurim, we use another binyan av and say lon will be kosher by the dam. This would be an attempt to establish one of the methods of learning that the Gemara introduced. And in this case, we would say that a dovar lomid binyan av is melamed bebinyan av. If we skip the bracketed section, the Gemara asks, how can you come to such a conclusion? V'chidonin dover shelo behechshero midover shebehechshero? Is it possible to conclude something that's improper? For example, the leaving over of the innards, the emurim of a korban, and not offered on time is something shelo behechshero. It's done improperly. Can we conclude the halachas, the laws regarding that which is improper, from that which is proper? Midover shebehechshero. That's a reference to the besar shlomim. It is proper to have besar shlomim left over till the next day. That's quite all right. The Gemara answers, as far as the source is concerned, that it was, that we are saying all of these things are kosher. In other words, the lon bedam, the lon bemurim, and the other items that we haven't learned yet in the source. Tana mizois toiras ha'ola riba samechle. The Tana is relying on a posuk that will be marbe, that will include all of these different things, all these phenomenon that are mentioned in the source. So in effect, the source really cannot be brought to support or conclude the question that was asked beforehand. Now let's go over the bracketed section, realizing that as far as our sugya is concerned, we raised a question, tried to answer it from a Tanaic source, and then the Gemara raised a question on this approach and said, you know what, the Brisa is really not relevant to our discussion, and its basis is really a pasuk and not a function of a binyan av, chozer melamed bebinyan av. So we turn back now to the bracketed section, yotzei. Yotzei is if meat that left the left its precinct, its proper area. In other words, if you have, for example, ola meat that's not supposed to leave the azora, let us say it left the azora and was brought back and then brought up onto the mizbeach after it was yotzei, we say that if it's ola, if it was brought up onto the mizbeach, it should not be brought down. Why is that? Hoil the yotzei kosher bebama. Since when you're dealing with private altars during the time in Jewish history when they were mutter, private altars had no bounds. In other words, a person who offered his sacrifice on a private altar didn't experience any restrictions with regard to where the meat could be brought. It's just worth mentioning that the Gemara's question that appeared after the source of Chidonin Dover Shelo Bechsherim Dover Shechsheru applies to this as well. That how can you conclude the halochas of Yotzei during the time when the when there were restrictions after the Beis Hamikdash was built, there certainly were restrictions as far as precincts in which things could be brought. So how can you learn a time of restriction from a time when everything was okay? Continuing in the source, Tomei, we say that if the korban became Tomei and it was brought up onto the Mizbeach, it's not to be brought down. Hoyol v'huter b'avodas tzibur. Since there's precedent for tuma being allowed in the case of public offerings. So since there's a precedent for our compromising on the restrictions of tuma, therefore, even if it's not a tzibur function, if the meat that was tumei was brought up onto the Mizbeach, it is to remain there. Chutz lizmano. Hoyul umaratzi lepigulo. Chutz lizmano, if meat was processed with an incorrect mindset, whereby the person, let us say, for example, slaughtered the korban with the intention of doing the zrika sadam, the blood sprinkling, at the wrong time, so that korban is considered invalid. Let's say it was brought up onto the Mizbeach. Well, we're saying it's not to be brought down. Hoyul umaratzi lepigulo, since the processing of the korban with the incorrect mindset takes effect and creates a new status for it, so it shows that it has a certain significance, although in a negative light, if you will. Nevertheless, since it takes hold, it is significant enough for us to say that if it's brought onto the Mizbeach, it's not to be brought down. Chutz limkomo, likewise a korban, a sacrifice that was processed with an incorrect mindset with regard to place. If it's brought on the Mizbeach, it's not to be brought down. Hoyul v'hukash l'chutz l'zmano, since there is a comparison between chutz l'mkomo to chutz l'zmano. We just saw that by chutz l'zmano, if it's brought up, it doesn't come down. Shekiblu psulim mizorku domon, a korban whose blood was received by those that are unqualified and they did the zrika sadam. We're saying that even so, even it was done by psulim, if the meat is brought up onto the Mizbeach, it's not to be taken off. Behanuch psulim de chozel avodas tzibur. We're talking about individuals that were posel that would have been fit if you were dealing with a public sacrifice. And that could be summed up by saying they were posel in the sense that they were tomei. And since on a public level we compromise the tuma restriction, therefore, If a person who was tomei did the Kabbalah Saddam and the Zrika Saddam, if it's brought up to the top of the Mizbeach, the meat is not to be brought down. Well, the Gemara had asked, we can read it again, V'chidonin dover shelo be'echshero midover she'be'echshero. And we're going to focus once again on our previous example. How can you determine the halachas of a murim that experienced lina from Besar Shlomim that was kosher, that's all right if you leave it over till the second day? So the Gemara answers, Tana mizois teras ha'ula riba samech le. The Tana, in establishing all of these halachas of things that were done improperly and yet they are to be left on the top of the Mizbeach, was really not basing himself on learning a murim from shlomim and then turning around and learning dam from a murim, but rather they were all learned from this pasuk of zois teras ha'ula. And Rashi, zois teras ha'ula, Rashi says, Torah ach l'chol ha'olim. One rule applies to all things that are brought on top of the Mizbeach. Im olu lo yerdu. If they're brought up to the top, they're not to be brought down. Kirechtiv, al moikdo kol ha'layla. The chol raya salalu, all of the proofs that the Brisa was bringing along the way, there was a reason for that. Not that those proofs are the actual proofs, but rather mishum de memayit mizois hi ha'ila, because there are certain things that are excluded. Tlosab suli, three types of improper or invalid sacrifices that, if they are brought up, they are to be brought down. Therefore, maisi mehanoch my shno hani mehani. Therefore, it was necessary to bring all of these examples that were cited in the Tanaic source as a means of contrasting these that are acceptable, namely, if they're brought up, they don't come down, in contrast with those three that are not mentioned here, if they're brought up, they are to be brought down. However, Ukra Iker, the main proof or source for this information is from the Pasuk, V'taimei Asmachta B'alma Hi. Who? And the reasons given here were merely what's called an asmachta, meaning an auxiliary reason, but not the actual reason. Turning back to the Gemara, Shiorei Hadam of the Par and Soyer of Yom Kippur, Hoyashofech al Yesoid Maravi, they were spilled out on the base of the altar, standing in the Azara, on the western side, the base of the, on the western side, my taima, why on the western side? Omar Kro, El Yesoid Mizbach Oilo, Asher Pesach Oil Moed. That's the Pasuk, and we learn from this, Hahu de Poga Beresha. It's with regard to the side that you meet first. When you exit the Heichal, when you're talking about sacrifices whose blood was sprinkled in the enclosed area of the Beis HaMikdash, in the Heichal, when you exit the Heichal and you walk out toward the Mizbeach, you hit the western side of the Mizbeach first. And that's learned from this pasuk that says Asher Pesach Ol Moed, the part of the Mizbeach that's facing that's nearest the entrance to the Ol Moed, so that when you're walking out of that entranceway, you hit the western side first. Before we go further, let's glance at the side of our Gemara, the outside margin. We have a Noseya topic heading, Droshos Al Psukim El Yisoid Mizbeach Ho'ila, Shemofim Bepar Koy Moshiach Par Ho'ido Soyer Nosi. We're going to see drushes on this pasuk of El Yisod Mizbach Ha'olah that appear in three different contexts. You have in the case of the Par Kohen Moshiach, that's a korban that the Kohen Godol brings in the event that he issued an erroneous legal ruling. You have this pasuk appearing with regard to Par Ha'edo, that's in the case of the Par Helm Lover Shetzibur, the Sanhedrin issued an erroneous ruling, and the Soyer Nosi, where the king violated an Iser Chatos, a type of offense that requires the bringing of a Korban Chatos. Droshos HaBraisa, we see a summary of what we'll see in the Gemara, El Yesoid Mizbach Ha'ilah. Number one, we've written in on the side, Shaloi Toimar Deshvichus Shiraim Yehei Al Hakronos, that the Pasuk is telling us, don't think that the pouring of the remaining blood after the sprinkling was done is to be done on the corners of the Mizbeach. Number two, Ein Yesod LeMizbeach HaPnimi. The second point that we'll reveal here is that there is no Yesod, foundation or extra frame that forms the foundation when you're dealing with the inner Mizbeach. This frame was essentially on the outside Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach that stood in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a frame that ran around most of the Mizbeach with dimensions of an amah in height and a horizontal amah, let's say in width, that surrounded the base of the Mizbeach. The golden Mizbeach that sat in the Heichal did not have that structure. Number three, Shvichas Shirayim Shel Kol HaKorbonos Yehei Al Yisoid Mizbeach HaChitzon. The pouring out of the remnant blood of all sacrifices shall be done on the base of the external altar. U'mishum Delok Siv Shvichas Shirayim B'Korban Oilo Itzrich Lemelaf Mehochan. Since the Torah does not write about the pouring of the remnant blood of a Korban Ola, it's necessary to use this pasuk as a basis for that. Turning now to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's in a frame, and all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system are in frames to set it apart from the rest of the Gemara. The background for appreciating this source is found in the Rashi. We might want to point out that a number of details of this source will be part of the discussion of the Gemara on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. You'll find over there that there will be quotes from this source and discussions surrounding those quotes. There's a Rashi that we cited before that serves as a background for this. You'll find under the Gemara El Yisoid Mizbeach Ho'ilo Chomesh Parshios Hein B'Chatos. Rashi says there are five sections in the Torah that deal with the Korban Chatos. One, Shel Par Kohen Moshiach. Two, Shel Par Helem Shehein Pnimios. Those are two types of Chatos that are done in the Hechal, in the inner part of the Beis HaMikdash, the enclosed part. Number three, V'Shel Sur Nosi. Four, V'Shel Kiv Sas Yochid, a private individual bringing a sheep sin offering. V'Shel Siras Yochid Shehein Chitzenos. The fifth one is a parsha dealing with the private sin offering brought from a goat. B'shtayim ha'pnimeos u'besor nosi k'siv b'shvichas shirehen el yisoid mizbach o'ilo. With regard to two of the pnimeos and the soyer nosi, which was a chitzoina, which was done in the Azora, you have this pasuk of el yisoid mizbach o'ilo. B'shtayim ha'chitzonos k'siv el yisoid ha'mizbeach. Stamo. With the other two chitzonos, you don't have the word ha'olo, it just says el yisod ha'mizbeach. The kodorish tana t'losa el yisod mizbach ha'olo. Lama piresh ha'kosuv. The tana will be focusing on the three that mention olah specifically in the posuk. Turning to the Gemara. Tana rabbanan el yisod mizbach ha'olo. Veloy yisoid mizbeach apnimi. One should not think that there is shvichas shirayim on the inner mizbeach, the mizbeach in the hechal. Number two, el yisoid mizbeach o'ilo, ein lo yisoid lepnimi atzmo. This is telling me that the inside mizbeach doesn't even have a yisod, which we said was the frame around the base, which the outside, the external mizbeach has. This pasuk is telling me that the internal mizbeach does not have that. El yisoid mizbach o'ilo, tein yisoid lemizbeach shel o'ilo. That the expression is a little bit terse. Rashi explains, and we already cited it in our introductory remarks, but you'll see there's a Rashi with a double star toward the lower part of the wide lines. Tain yisod the mizbecho shel oilo. Tain toiras yisod. Apply the rule of the base. Dahainu shvicha shirayim the mizbecho shel oilo. Shieha mizbeach toun ba'oilo ubechol domim hanitnim olav. Ubechol domim hanitnim olav shvichas shirayim el hayisod. Not only the ola but all korbanos. When there is remnant blood, it's spilled out on the base. Im nishar b'kli klum, k'shazorik menu shtei zrikos l'shtei kronos yishpachanu d'yisod. If there's any blood left after the two sprinklings that are characteristic of most of the korbanos, if after they are done, there's remaining blood, they are spilled out onto the base. U'mishom deba'oilo lo k'siv shvicha shirayim itztrich l'melach miyochan. Since by the korban ola, the Torah doesn't make any reference to the spilling out of the remnant blood, it's necessary for the Torah to refer to it here. The Brisa goes on, O eno ela, or possibly the pasuk of El Yisod Mizbecho Ola is here for something else. Le Mizbecho Shel Ola Yehei Yisod. That is to tell me that the Iker Matonos, that the original sprinklings, not the remnant blood, but it's to teach me concerning the original sprinklings, that they should be on the altar at a point on the altar under which there is a yesod, to the exclusion of the Keren Mizrachis Droimis, the southwestern corner of the Mizbech that did not have a yesod. So maybe that's what the Pasuk El Yesod Mizbech HaOla is. It's a law, or it's an instruction regarding not the Shvichas Shirayim as we thought, but rather maybe it's to teach me about the original Matnas Dam, that they're to be done at a point of the on the Mizbech under which there is a Yesod, as we said before, to the exclusion of the southwestern corner. So as far as that possibility is concerned, we have a response. Omar Rebbe Yishmoel, Kal Vachomer. As far as the Ikur Matonos are concerned, the basic blood sprinklings, I don't need a posuk for that, because I can learn that from a Kal Vachomer. Ma Shirayim She'ein Mechaprim Tuna Yesod. Mind you, the remnant blood that doesn't come to atone, it does require the base, Tchilas Oilo Shemechaperes Enodin Shetuna Yesod, the original sprinklings of the Ola, which do afford a form of atonement, certainly should require the Yesod. So through this piece of logic, I understand that the original sprinklings are done on the Mizbeach at a point under which there is Yesod, thereby freeing up the Pasuk of El Yesod Mizbeach HaOla to teach me the point three that was mentioned above, that the Shirayim, whenever you have remnant blood and it needs to be spilled out, it's spilled onto the base of the Mizbeach. We have in our markings, we've emphasized the names Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva comes along with a new Kal Vachomer, and it will be the role of the Gemara later on to determine what's the difference between what Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are saying, because on the face of things, we don't see the difference in a blatant fashion. Omar Rabbi Akiva. Once again, Rabbi Akiva is coming to give his version of the Kal Vachomer, from which we learned that the original Matnas Dam are done at a point on the Mizbeach under which there is a Yesod. So, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Ma Shirayim She'ein Mechaprin Vein Boyin Lechaper Te'unin Yesod. The Shirayim, which don't come to atone, and yet they require the base. You pour the shirayim over the base. Tchilas oilo shemechaperes ubo lechapora eino din shetuna yesod. Im kein ma talmud lomar el yesod mizbach oilo. Then what is the role of this pasuk if it's not coming to address the original matnas dam? Answer: tein yesod lemizbecho shel oilo. And as we saw before in the Rashi, we are learning from here that if you have remaining blood by a korban ola, it is to be poured out on the base. And we saw before in the Rashi, this is important, or this is necessary, because when the Torah describes a korban ola, it does not mention anything about its shvichas shirayim. So this pasuk serves as the basis of shvichas shirayim by a korban ola. Omar Mar. As we mentioned before, the Braisa will be explained in sections. So here we have a quote from the Braisa focusing on the first point. Omar Mar, El Yesod Mizbach HaOilo Velo Yesod Mizbeach HaPnimi. We explained this before by saying that the Pasuk is telling me that the Shvichas Shirayim, the spilling of the remnant blood, is done on the outside Mizbeach and not on the internal Mizbeach. The Gemara asks, Ha miboya le legufe. I need this pasuk for itself, namely that Shirayim are poured at the base. However, if you want to pour the Shirayim on the inner Mizbeach, at the bottom of the inner mizbeach, that is a possibility. So how can you be so sure that the pasuk is coming to exclude the inner mizbeach from Shvicha Shraim? Once again, maybe the pasuk is telling me what's called legufei, the basic halacha that Shiraim are poured out to the base of the outside mizbeach, but not precluding the inner mizbeach from such an activity. The Gemara answers, Me'asher Pesach Oil Moed Nafka. The idea that the Shiraim are to be poured on the outside mizbeach, that's learned from this, Asher Pesach Oil Moed, thereby freeing up the expression Mizbach Oila to memait, to exclude the inner mizbeach altogether from the realm of Shvicha Shiraim. This is now a quote from the third point in the source. El Yisod Mizbach Oila. This pasuk is from the Soyer Nasi, Vayikra Dalid, Perek Dalid Pasuk of Hei. Tain Yisoid L'Mizbeach Shel Ola. Namely, that the Shvichas Shiraim is to be done Dafka on the Yisod. If you were to think that the pasuk is simply ligufe for itself, to tell me that the shvichas shirayim of the soyer nosi are to be done at the base of the external mizbeach, well, hani loma likra, what would I need a pasuk for that, to tell me that the Shvichas Shiraim of the Soyer Nosi, which was an external sacrifice, is to be done at the base of the external Mizbeach? I wouldn't need a pasuk for that. That's what we call Legufei. Why? Let's go over that again. Hani Loma Likra L'Shirayim. Would the pasuk be coming to tell me about the Shiraim of the Soyer Nosi? Shirayim ho baroi ovid lehu. The shirayim of the soyer nasi are the remnant of a korban that's done in the azora anyway. It's done at the external mizbeach. V'chitemo de'apich meipach de'baroi legavoi u'degavoi lebaroi. You might want to say that I really do need a pasuk to tell me that the soyer nosi shirayim are to be done at the base of the outside mizbeach, because I might have thought that a korban that's done on the outside, basic matnas dam, the primary sprinkling, is done on the outside mizbeach, so its shirayim should be done on the inside mizbeach, and the types of korbanos whose essential matnas dam, whose primary matnas dam, whose basic blood sprinklings are done on the inside mizbeach, so those kind of korbanos there, shirayim, are done on the outside mizbeach. Maybe that's what I would have thought through this type of where the basic matnas dam, like a chsor nosi, is done on the outside mizbeach, so the shirayim are done on the inside, and where the inside sacrifices have their basic matnas dam on the hechal mizbeach, so their shirayim are done on the outside. That's what you might have thought? No, I would never have thought that. The Gemara says, "Ha ein lo yisod la pnimi atzmo." The internal mizbeach doesn't have a yisod to begin with, so there really is no havamina to have suggested that the pasuk is legufe, to teach me about the shvichas shirayim of the soyer nosi on the outside mizbeach. That point in and of itself would have been very obvious. Therefore, the purpose of the pasuk of Yisod Mizbeach HaOila in the context of the Soyer Nosi is telling me that the Shvichas Shirayim are to be done dafka at the Yisod and not somewhere else. With that, we conclude our Shi'ur for today.